All right, our next case is 11-1070, State of Ohio versus Regina Nyssen-Pennycuff. For the appellant is Mr. Grauman.
Chief Justice O'Connor, may it please the court. Mr. Greer, my name is Nick Grauman, and I'm here on behalf of Regina Nyssen-Pennycuff. May I please reserve 2 minutes for rebuttal? I believe the Fourth District and State v. Mills stated it best when it stated that the process for sealing criminal records does not always fit neatly within the ILC statute.
Counsel, could you move closer to the microphone? Thank you.
The ILC statute states that the court may order the sealing of records related to the offense in question and the manner provided in sections 2953.31 to 2953.36 of the revised code. These reference sections all address sealing one's record following a conviction, but the ILC statute makes it abundantly clear that successful completion of the intervention plan and the dismissal of the case shall be without adjudication of guilt and is not a criminal conviction. The statutory section that addresses sealing one's record following a dismissal, 2953.52, is not referenced in the ILC statute. Three appellate districts have weighed in on this matter. The 12th District in this case found that the ILC statute clearly and plainly states that the sealing statutes referencing sealing one's record following a conviction are to be applied when addressing an ILC matter. This was in direct conflict with the 9th District's decision in Fortado, which essentially and effectively looked at the end result of the case, which was a dismissal, and determined that as a dismissal, it should be treated as such, and applied the sealing statute addressing sealing one's record following a dismissal. Therefore, the defendant did not have to wait any period of time until they were able to have that record of dismissal sealed.
But counsel, isn't this a choice the legislature has made? You are asking us in your briefs to completely ignore what the legislature has said with regard to the 3-year waiting period for sealing records. And while you equate it very nicely to just a generic dismissal, it is not in fact that. It is a hybrid. I mean, this is a person who's been allowed to have an intervention in lieu of conviction, but clearly the legislature has evidenced an intent by their exact language that there be a 3-year waiting period. And there are public policy reasons for that.
Well, Your Honor, in my belief, I believe that if the Smith application is applied, where the Third District placed great emphasis on the use of the legislature's use of the word may, that would give the trial court discretion whether to apply the sealing statutes addressing sealing one's record after a conviction. And I think, and as the Fourth District noted in Mills, there's an inherent contradiction that exists that the legislature created when it referenced the sealing statutes dealing with a conviction, but then abundantly states that following ILC, the defendant does not have a conviction on their record. And I think in applying the statute as the legislature wrote it and how the state argues it, I think, and especially in my client's case where they've had no prior contact with law enforcement, they undergo treatment in lieu of conviction, have their case dismissed, they are not a first offender under the statute and cannot proceed under the sealing statutes because
I don't know that it matters. Well, it does for participation in the ILC, of course, but the fact that there was no criminal activity prior to your client's current or the situation that gave rise to the case, isn't the 3-year waiting period done for the purposes of making sure that the defendant, the convicted, is eligible and deserving of having the record sealed?
Well, Your Honor, I believe that's up to the trial court's discretion, and I do not believe that a 3-year waiting period is mandatory in cases such as this where they have undergone a period of rehabilitation.
What's the purpose for the waiting period in your mind?
In my mind, it is to further burden a defendant who has been convicted with a criminal record.
Okay. Well, what do you think the legislature's intent was?
The legislature's intent in requiring a 3-year waiting period?
Mm-hmm.
I agree that I believe it is a period of time to show that the applicant is worthy. But going back to your original point,
that the applicant is worthy of having their record sealed.
That's correct.
As though nothing ever occurred of a criminal nature in their lifetime.
That's correct.
And if during that if you want to call it a probationary period, you can, although it's that term's not used. And if your client would relapse and have additional drug charges or any other theft offense, et cetera, then the eligibility for the ceiling would be greatly in question, correct?
I agree, Your Honor.
So why do you think that the legislature wouldn't want to, when they bestow a benefit as a ceiling of your record, why wouldn't that benefit be balanced by the defendant's obligation to prove that they're worthy of having that benefit?
I think, Your Honor, when specifically dealing with an ILC case, which was noted that it is something of a hybrid, there is no clear conviction afterwards. I think the legislature has provided us direction with regards to the pretrial diversion statute, where oftentimes a defendant is required to enter a guilty plea, which, like ILC, is held in abeyance for a probationary period of time. They may be required to undergo some type of counseling or anger management or some type of requirement. And then after successful completion of that, assuming there's been no new criminal charges, they can have that case. That case is then dismissed. There is no similar language in the pretrial diversion statute, which is 2935.
The case has been dismissed, but it's not sealed.
Right.
On at the termination of a diversion program.
Right. But there is no similar language in the diversion statute to what exists in the ILC statute. So I think the fact that it's something of a hybrid and that a guilty plea is entered but held in abeyance, I don't think that was the legislature's intent. Otherwise, something similar would have existed with respect to the pretrial diversion statute.
Counsel, your position is the word is conviction. This is not a conviction when we talk about ILC. Intervention instead of conviction is what the statute is talking about. So in this particular strange hybrid, as Justice McGee-Brown has characterized it, we're talking about something that is not a conviction and that the court may then seal the records under 31 to 36. Problem is that 31 to 36 in many places talks about conviction.
That's correct, Your Honor. And going back to Chief Justice O'Connor's point with regards to prior contacts with law enforcement, prior criminal conviction, the sealing statutes in 31 to 36 are all predicated on a conviction, obviously. They require a first offender to be the applicant to have that record sealed. And the statute clearly states the first offender is someone who has previously been convicted. Well, in my client's case, they have no prior convictions. Because they have no prior contact with law enforcement and no conviction results, I think then under the reading of the statute, they do not qualify as a first offender and therefore are barred from having their record sealed.
Then what does the legislature mean when under 2951.041 it talks about upon the successful completion, et cetera, the court may seal, and they cite 31 to 36, which has a lot of things that don't apply. What portions of that group of statutes would apply to the ILC person?
Your Honor, I don't believe any of them would apply. I think it was legislative oversight that drafted the statute that way, because I think there's obviously, as Mills indicated, there's a clear contradiction in the statute. I think the court in Smith, which placed emphasis on the use of the word may, the trial court then would have discretion whether to use those sealing statutes and impose a weight in accordance with those statutes, but would not be required to because of the inherent ambiguity that would arise in trying to redefine the word conviction, which, as you noted, was referenced throughout 31 through 36, and trying to fit an ILC dismissal into those statutes. I think, obviously, the trial court would have to create a legal fiction that a conviction occurred where one didn't, would have to then compound that by determining whether that was a felony or misdemeanor conviction, and then compound that further by determining whether that the date of final discharge.
So you're saying that we could read .041 as saying if the court wished to, it could impose a waiting period in a particular case under 31 to 36?
That's correct, Your Honor, but I believe under both Smith and Furtado, under either other approach, discretion would still be vested with the trial court,
right,
regardless of whether it was a regardless of whether a case is dismissed or a conviction occurs. The trial court still has discretion with respect to sealing that record. So obviously, under the Smith approach or the Furtado approach, the trial court, if it felt the applicant was not worthy, had not proven themselves sufficiently enough, could still require a waiting period, whether it was an expressed 1 or 3 year period or something shorter or something longer.
But for the ILC, it's not mandatory to wait 3 years?
In my opinion, no.
Okay.
Well, what is the legal effect of the dismissal in this case, in your view?
In my view, it is a dismissal no different than any other dismissal.
Is it the same as a nolle prosequi issued in a case on an indictment?
I do not believe so.
Why?
Simply because I believe in that instance, Your Honor, they would be required to wait a sufficient period of time after the grand jury presents a no true bill. And I think the statute is made, well, and I understand the differences between what I'm discussing, what you're addressing. And ultimately, I guess.
Is an acquittal different from a dismissal?
In terms of how the sealing statutes treat it, no.
From the effect of an acquittal as opposed to the effect of a dismissal, for this purpose or other purposes?
For this purpose, no.
What about others?
For other purposes? I don't believe so. And I'm sure there would be some situation that could arise where.
Done any research in that view?
I have not, Your Honor. And I think one other factor that's important to note is the fact that Furtado was decided in 1996 and Smith was decided in 2004. These cases aren't new developments. They've existed for a while. In those 16 years since the since Furtado was decided, the legislature has given no indication that Furtado or Smith was decided incorrectly. They could have easily gone back, amended the statute, or done something to reflect that Furtado and Smith were decided incorrectly, and that is not how defendants should be treated.
What is the practice in the counties, do you know?
Your Honor, in my experience, I've seen it go both ways.
I can't hear you.
In my experience, I've seen it go both ways, Your Honor.
I've had
applicants be denied and be required to wait a three-year period following successful completion of ILC.
Is it county dependent?
I believe.
Or is it individual defendant dependent?
I believe, Your Honor, it's.
I mean, can you get this done, for example, in Lucas County, but you can't get it done in Monroe County, or can it? Does it happen in Licking County, but it doesn't happen in Union County, or do you know that?
I have done it immediately in Montgomery County following a dismissal in ILC, and obviously I've encountered this issue in Warren County, where the trial court indicated that my client needed to wait 3 years. So yes, the trial courts.
But. Is the reason for doing it defendant-based or judge depend upon who the judge is in those counties?
I believe it depends on the trial court, Your Honor. And if I may reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal.
You may. Mr. Greer.
Madam Chief Justices, Mr. Grauman, if it may please the court, the plain and unambiguous language found in RC 2951.041E requires trial courts to apply Section 2953.32 in deciding when an ILC defendant can seek expungement of the
records. It doesn't say when, though. It says in the manner provided.
Yes, Your Honor, it does.
That's what it says.
But that is no different from saying as the procedure set forth in.
The condition precedent seems to me to be if convicted of a felony at the expiration of 3 years. That wouldn't apply to this individual defendant, would it?
Yes, it would. It applies because.
So the language that the application can be made at the expiration of 3 years after the offender's final discharge. If convicted of a felony, and this person wasn't convicted of a felony.
Your Honor, that language must apply. If it doesn't apply, then the last phrase of 04E
you
does
not
exist.
You don't see the language, if convicted of a felony.
That is the language found in
as a condition precedent to the application of the time requirement.
It does if there is a felony, if there's a conviction.
And if there isn't a conviction of a felony, then what is the legal effect of if convicted of a felony?
The legal effect is, if you successfully complete ILC, the trial court must treat that successful completion as a conviction for the limited purposes of determining what is the applicable waiting period.
But Mr. Greer,
I know
says,
you feel strongly about this, but I'm having trouble trying to say that a person who is convicted of a felony must wait 3 years.
Yes, Your Honor.
It doesn't say a person who's charged with a felony.
No, sir.
Has to wait 3 years. And so the condition precedent for the application of that portion of that statute, in my view, is if you are convicted of a felony, you must wait 3 years before you may apply.
Yes, Your Honor.
But this person isn't convicted of a felony.
But if we do not treat this person as if they're convicted of a felony, then we render the last
phrase.
Say
that again.
If we do not treat this person, if we do not treat Ms. Pennycuff or any other person who's completed ILC, who admitted their guilt to a felony, if we do
but
not
wait
treat
a minute.
Them as
who
a
had
conviction.
The charges dismissed against them?
Someone who's had their charges dismissed against them,
yes,
but did not participate in ILC is not the same as someone who participated in ILC. We're talking strictly with someone who has successfully completed ILC. If someone has successfully completed ILC, we must treat that successful completion as a conviction, only for the limited purposes of determining the applicable waiting period.
And where,
to do otherwise,
where could I find statutory authority to say that anyone who successfully completed intervention in lieu of conviction as a convicted felon?
For the limited purposes of determining the applicable waiting period.
Where could I find that?
You have to interpret the last phrase of 041E with sections 31 through 36.
Mr. Greer, let's look at the statute, which is .041 that you're referring to.
Yes,
it's E. First of all, the ending is talking about successful completion of the ILC, and it says a successful completion and the period of abstinence shall be without adjudication of guilt, is not a criminal conviction for purpose of any disqualification or disability imposed by law and upon conviction of a crime. And the court, not shall, the court may order sealing of records pursuant to 31 to 36. You keep saying the court shall. The statute is clear. It seems to suggest to the court, for purpose of ILC, we don't have a conviction. However, court, you have discretion to seal this in accordance with 31 to 36. In my view, that suggests you also have discretion to seal immediately because we don't have a conviction.
Your Honor, if may goes to in the manner provided by, then in the manner provided by is meaningless because then each trial judge has a discretion to, one, acknowledge that phrase and use it, or refuse to acknowledge it, and both are valid, under that interpretation, are valid exercises of discretion. Further, a trial judge could then simply throw out, ignore that phrase, ignore 31 through 36, ignore 52, set forth its own procedures, its own waiting period.
Why would the in the manner language not refer to the fact that an individual has had 3 or 4 prior convictions and not be, quote, unquote, eligible for sealing of a record in the manner provided in this statute? Why wouldn't the language just apply to the conditions for granting it as opposed to the time for filing it?
Because that's not what the General Assembly said.
I can't hear you.
That's not what the General Assembly said. The General Assembly granted discretion to seal records, but then mandated in the manner provided by sections 31
and 36. So is your position that a court, if they're going to seal a record, has to go with 2953, 31 to 36, and no other way?
Dealing with those who have successfully completed ILC, and, of course, those who are convicted of a crime.
Okay.
But if there's been a dismissal or an acquittal, that would fall under 52.
All right. So what I hear you saying is that a trial judge, if someone's convicted of a crime, a felony, the judge is precluded from automatically sealing that record upon conviction. There has to be the procedure engaged in from 31 to 36.
I would argue that a trial court does not have the discretion to sua sponte seal a record after a conviction unless granted that by 31 through 36.
So there is no immediate sealing of a record?
Only for those cases where there's been a dismissal of the indictment.
I'm talking about a conviction.
No.
Okay. So the May language that is contained in Section E could very well be read to mean the discretion lies with the judge to even seal or not seal, not whether to use Section 2953.31 to 2953.36. That's not discretionary. Whether the court may order the sealing of records related to the offense in question. So it's discretionary whether a judge wants to seal or intends to seal a record, and if so, you use 31 to 36. And if you deny the sealing of the record, you don't need to even pay attention to 31 to 36.
True. But the way the statute is written, in Mrs. Pennycuff's case, the trial court could not even address the merits of her application. And the trial court didn't address the merits of her application. The trial court gave no indication whether he would grant or deny her application to seal her records. He was merely saying the law does not allow me to look at the merits of your application until the 3-year waiting period has elapsed.
And there is a difference between the sealing statute where you're talking about a dismissal and no admission of guilt. So the judge can immediately seal that record, and the legislature could choose that there's policy reasons for doing that. But in this case where there's an IOC, there's actually been an admission of guilt, and the defendant's been allowed to participate in a program that the legislature has said if you want to seal the record, you do it under this framework. It's not the same as a dismissal where there's been no admission of guilt.
Exactly. Judge Hendrickson put it eloquently when he said, these people do not get their case dismissed because they're not guilty. It's because they've successfully completed treatment. They are exchanging the successful treatment, completion of treatment, for punishment. That is a matter of legislative grace, and the General Assembly can put any limitations upon it that it wants.
Counsel, could we clarify, is there an admission of guilt in an ILC?
Yes, Your Honor.
Before there's a plea entered?
Yes, Your Honor. They are required to enter a plea of guilty to the charges.
But there's no adjudication of
there
guilt.
There is no, then adjudication is held in abeyance until such time they successfully complete treatment. Which is usually 1 year, but can be actually, I think, up to 3 years.
So the statement about successful completion of the ILC shall be without an adjudication of guilt. That's in E. That's my confusion. It appears that the statute is saying there is no adjudication of guilt, which is the sine qua non for a conviction.
That's why there is no conviction, because once they plead guilty, they admit their guilt. If they successfully complete, then that guilty plea is basically withdrawn, and there is no adjudication as to guilt. The case is dismissed because of the successful completion of treatment. If they do not successfully complete treatment, or if they violate one of the other terms of ILC, then the trial court can immediately move on to sentencing that ILC defendant and send them to prison or community control or whatever that is appropriate for the crime committed, the crime that they have pled guilty to.
Counsel, you admit that there's a confusion here based on the word of conviction in the sealing statutes and not the ILC not be treated as a conviction. So this statute or the interpretation of the statute is complicated by that discrepancy.
Yes, Your Honor.
But if the legislature did not intend 2953.31 to 36 to be utilized, why would they even reference it in the ILC section?
Precisely. If they had not, Ms. Pennycuff's argument is based on, when you boil it down to its most simplest form, is that the General Assembly did not mean what it said in that last phrase. It used the term in the manner provided by.
What we have to do is interpret this last phrase, and the court may order the sealing of records related to the offense in question in the manner provided in sections 5331 to 36 of the revised code, and interpret that to the court may order the sealing. In other words, the court doesn't have to order the sealing. We could interpret it that way. Or we could look at it the way, you know, it's been also suggested that the court may order the sealing, and if and they may use 2953.31 to 36, but they're not compelled to use 2953.31 to 36. Those are the two issues that we have to struggle with.
Yes, Your Honor. But if this court decides that the may relates to in the manner provided by, then you're basically making or running the risk of making 2951.041E constitutionally vague, that then we have a separation of powers issue.
Counsel, we have even more ambiguity here because we have in the manner of, which is an unusual phrase to use, rather than pursuant to or in accordance with, so we have those kind of issues to deal with too. But I have a practical question in this case. The trial court judge decided not to seal the record in this case, correct?
He didn't decide not to seal the record. He decided that he could not hear the merits of her application to seal the records.
All right.
To wait 3 years.
If this court should decide that he really had a choice of which statute to follow or whether or not which statute to follow, is it your belief that he would grant the sealing of
this? I have
this?
No idea. But if the may goes to...
So it would go back to him for deciding and may not decide to seal the record anyway.
Precisely. Matter of fact, if the may goes to in the manner provided by, if it relates to that, if Judge Flannery has that discretion and all other trial court judges have that discretion, then Judge Flannery committed no error here in this case. He chose to make Ms. Pennycuff wait as that interpretation would allow him to. That's a perfectly valid exercise of his discretion.
Well, he actually may have decided it, thinking he had no choice, that if we remand it with the or interpretation, then he could make the same decision.
And
he may decide he would like to seal it immediately if we give him that choice as our interpretation comes down.
But by doing that, we have also basically rendered that last phrase meaningless.
Not necessarily. If we take the interpretation that you can seal it immediately or you can choose the method in the statute and wait 3 years, you still allow the judge the choice. It's not meaningless.
But that choice adds language to the phrase that's not there, which still violates the statute.
If we were to view it that way, we'd have to equate the dismissal of an ILC, the procedural dismissal, what happens in an ILC, with a adjudication of not guilty or a dismissal before trial.
Yes, Your Honor.
And
that's not the case.
It's not treated that way or explained that way in the statute that creates this hybrid.
I see my time is up, Your Honor.
Yes, it is.
Thank you, Your Honors.
Mr. Grauman, you have a little under 2 minutes.
Chief Justice O'Connor, may it please the Court. Adopting the state's position would create a situation where defendants who have successfully completed ILC would only be eligible to have their record sealed if they have a prior conviction on their record. Otherwise, they would not qualify as a first offender, which is a requirement in order to proceed with the sealing statutes. I believe this was the situation that was addressed by State v. Mills, where it found that the offender could have their application granted because they did have a prior offense, a DUI on their record. Therefore, they were still a first offender under the statute. Had they had any other subsequent conviction, they would have been ineligible.
So what you're saying is your reading would mean I'm a convicted felon. I then want to enter into the ILC program because of a subsequent crime, correct?
No.
Correct.
And I successfully complete the ILC. And then the only thing I can get expunged or, sealed would be the first conviction?
No. My position is simply that unless there is some other prior conviction, aside from some separate case not related to the ILC case, they would not qualify as a first offender because a first offender requires that the individual be convicted or have a conviction on their record, and the ILC statute is clear that the ILC case does not result in a conviction. So I think there's a double-edged sword there where individuals who have two prior convictions on their record obviously do not qualify.
Except that the ILC section directs you to the 2953.31 and 36. Obviously, the legislature could have done a better job of saying, you know, for purposes of 2953.31 to 36, an ILC, successful ILC, is treated as a conviction just for these limited purposes of being eligible for, the sealing of the record.
That's correct. But the statute is clear, the ILC statute is clear, that it does not result in a conviction.
Well, if it were that clear, we wouldn't be here.
Thank you.
All right, your time is up. Thank you. Marshall, would you adjourn court? Gentlemen, we will take your matter under advisement, and you'll be notified of our opinion.